78.
That's it then, said Zila. She hobbled over to stare at the broken machinery. Game over.
No, said Nate. There's got to be a way we can fix this or rig it for
storeroom,
shouted Veek. Nate was a beat behind her. Zila was too. Has to be, he said. There have to be replacements.
Veek studied the bank of tubes. Her eyes went back and forth over them for a moment, and then she nodded.
It's just like a fuse box. All the ones in this section are the same. All the ones down here,
her hand swiped at the bottom rows,
are different, so we need five like this.
She pulled her shirt up and stretched it over her hand. Nate caught a glimpse of a huge bruise spreading across her stomach. She grabbed one of the tubes between her covered fingers. The tube shifted, wiggled, and popped out. It had brass caps on both ends. One of them had a trio of prongs like a grounded plug.
Is it hot?
Asked Zila. Veek shook her head.
Tip from a hardware friend. Oil and sweat from your skin messes up glass components. Grab me a rag or something.
Nate found a banner of unrolled paper towels and tore off three of them. He met Veek at the door.
Let's go.
She wrapped the tube as they dashed down the hall to the back stairwell. Roger decided he could take his foot away from the door. The security door was gone and the overseer things were gouging the door apart with their spears. A bone spear stabbed through the broken window and flailed in his direction. He took a breath and fired another two shots. One of the overseers shrieked and leaped away from the window. Roger bit down and resisted the urge to keep pulling the trigger. Clive and Debbie joined him in the lobby. They didn't have any weapons, but it was better than facing the monsters alone. Roger raised the pistol again. He wasn't sure how many bullets it had left. Then he forced himself to take another breath. There were less of them out there. He tried to focus harder to make sure he wasn't imagining it, but it was true. Half of the overseers were gone. He could see the railing for the outside steps and one of the small trees from the front lawn. While he watched, a few of the ones who were left stepped back away from the door. He straightened up and saw two of them down at the base of the stairs. They leaped off the cracked slab and back onto the sand. He shot a glance to Clive.
Think I scared him off?
The overseers had smashed the window of the back door, but it was too small for them to get through. Their pounding shook the door, but it seemed to be holding. Bulging eyes focused on Nate and Veek, and there were more grunts and snarls. A spear reached through the door and jabbed at the air in front of them. A pair of arms, a pair of right arms, reached through the window and flailed in their direction. Come on, said Nate. He took a few more steps down the staircase, staying against the wall. Clive's rope stretched wire tight across the landing. Going under forced them into a defenseless position. Over put them in an awkward, exposed position.
I vote for under,
said Veek, reading his mind. Good, he said. He crouched low and duck-walked under the rope. Something swiped across his back in mid-waddle and he threw himself onto his knees, then over onto his ass. His hip burned, his fists came up, and he realized he'd grazed the rope. Veek spent a moment figuring out what to do with the paper-wrapped tube, then shoved it down her shirt. She crawled on her hands and knees. Halfway there, one of the overseers crammed its head through the window and looked down. It howled and a wiry arm shot through and flailed for her. The claw-like nails passed through her hair and swung down to grab again. Nate reached out, hooked his hands in her armpits, and dragged her away. They slid, shuffle, crawled until they were off the landing. The overseers outside withdrew as if they knew it was a waste of effort to go after the two humans now.
You okay? Just peachy,
she said. Her arm wrapped around her gut again. She reached into her shirt and pulled out the tube.
Still in one piece.
They pushed themselves to their feet and skittered down the last few steps to the storeroom. The padlock hung on its hasp. The doorknob was locked. Nate frisked himself and hit something big near his throbbing hip. He glanced down and his eyes fell on the pistol Tim had given him. It was still clipped to Nate's waist.
Stand back, Veek said.
She was one step ahead of him. She aimed her own pistol at the padlock, clutching it with both hands in a clumsy grip. Her first shot went off to the side and punched a hole in the door. It was deafening in the basement's concrete hallway. The second shot was high.
Careful, he yelled. You're shooting into a room full of fuses and light bulbs, remember?
She squeezed the trigger again. The padlock twisted. Her next shot shredded it apart. Nate reached in and knocked the remains off the hasp. Veek lowered her aim and fired. There was a spark and the wood erupted next to the doorknob. She fired three more shots and the door around the knob turned into splinters. She glanced over at Nate and he nodded. He leaned back and kicked. The storeroom door twisted apart and swung open.
Guys, Debbie called down the stairwell. They're all leaving. The crab bug people are all going away.
They glanced at each other.
Why? Yelled Nate.
We don't know.
That can't be good, Veek muttered.
Agreed, Nate said. Let's find the fuses and get out of here. She shoved the pistol back into its holster and led them into the storeroom. They each pulled a box down and yanked it open. Nate had plastic pipe fittings. Veek's was a dusty collection of old videotapes. They both shoved them aside, glanced at labels, and grabbed again. This time Nate had a case of spiral light bulbs, still in packaging that declared them energy efficient. Veek shoved her carton aside and reached for the next one. Nate dropped to one knee and slid a box from one of the bottom shelves. A minute later, Veek cried,
Here!
Nate had seen the box she was looking in and ignored it because it was new. The cardboard was flat and smooth. The corners weren't blunted and the tape was still clear. Veek hadn't been so dismissive. The inside of the box was divided into 20 tall slots. Each one held a package wrapped in a thin sheet of foam. Veek slid one out, broke the paper seal around it, and unrolled the bundle. It was one of the glass tubes. She held out the one she'd pulled from the machine. Unlike hers, this one was clear and spotless. The brass gleamed and the filaments and tiny circuits inside shined like new.
Too new, thought Nate for a moment, but only a moment. He saw something coming at him from the door. A foot wearing a faux leather shoe lashed out and smashed into the side of the box.
The box of tubes skidded across the floor. Veek scrambled after it. Andrew took another step and slammed an awkward punch down at Nate. He got his head out of the way, but the fist cracked against his shoulder and a wave of pain washed down his arm. Another punch caught him in the elbow and he felt something crack.
You filthy, degenerate heathens,
spat Andrew. His eyes were wide and angry. His voice was thick and wet as if he was drowning in his own rage.
How dare you interfere with my lord's plan? How dare you ruin my wonderful day?
His foot came back and he drove a kick into Nate's stomach. Nate woofed out some air but managed to grab hold of the leg. Andrew lunged back and dragged him across the floor. He shifted his weight and his free foot swung in and caught Nate in the hip. He roared and the adrenaline let him wrestle Andrew down to the floor. Nate threw himself on top of the other man and landed a couple of punches, but Andrew didn't even notice them. He brought his hand around and slapped Nate hard in the side of the head again and again. Nate slammed his head down. His forehead cracked against Andrew's nose and drove the man's skull back to clunk against the concrete floor. Andrew's eyes glazed over for a moment. Blood gushed from his nostrils, and Nate pushed himself away. Nate reached down for the bucket of tools near the door, grabbed a solid-looking handle, and swung his arm around. Andrew was already up and lunging forward. The hammer caught the edge of his hand, just under the little finger, and Nate saw the palm crumple. Andrew howled and brought his other arm around. It wasn't a punch, just a wild, angry flail, but the blow hit Nate like a baseball bat. He staggered back and the room spun. One too many in the head, he thought. His legs felt weak and then the floor slammed up against his knees.
You will not pollute my lord's divine form with your filth, growled Andrew.
His face was a mask of blood below his crooked nose and one of his wide eyes was puffy.
You will not ruin this glorious day with your heresies.
There was a blast of noise and Andrew twisted back. He straightened up and Nate saw the dark spot below his shoulder. While he watched, it spread and soaked out through the sweater vest. The stain caught the light and showed the same red as his face. Veek clutched her blocky pistol in both hands. A tiny wisp of smoke slipped out of the barrel, thinned, and vanished. The smell of powder wafted around her. Andrew snarled at her. For a moment, his twisted face looked more like one of the overseers than a man. He took another step toward Nate. She fired again. The sweater vest unraveled across the top of his other shoulder, and they heard the sharp chime of the bullet ricocheting off the concrete walls. He stopped.
I'm sorry, said Veek. Her eyes were wide. I didn't want to.
He glared at her, then at Nate. He reached up and swept his hair back into its helmet-like perfection. Then he turned and staggered to the door. He glared back at her.
I would have made it quick for both of you, Andrew said. Now you can die in the rubble of this place.
He vanished into the basement hallway. His shoes scraped on the concrete stairs for a moment and the sound faded away.
The tubes, said Nate.
He He tried to shake the dizziness out of his head and realized that was not the way to go.
Are they okay?
Yeah, they're packed really well, she said. He only broke three of them. I didn't want to shoot him, I really didn't.
I know, he said. It's okay.
She helped him to his feet and tucked the box under her arm. There was no sign of Andrew in the hallway. They went up the stairs cautiously. Clive's rope lay on the landing in a tangle. The back door was open, but pulling itself closed. Veek shook her head.
He went out?
Nate shrugged. Maybe this is his idea of heaven. If he wants to stay, let him.
Guys!
This time it was Roger yelling down the stairwell. They looked between the railings and saw him up above.
Move it! The squail's coming!